Open those to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to continue and hopefully finish up today. And y'all, I've just gotten to the point where I don't care if I don't finish. We'll just go on another week. I mean, I'm just tired of being in a hurry. Come on, somebody. But we started a series on favor a couple of weeks ago now. This will be number 3. And, you know, to me, it's a real shame that more people aren't talking about favor, because favor is something that, you know, that's the thing that just causes things to work out. You know, it seems like you got people that sometimes they just kind of have things happen for them, and it almost makes you a little bit jealous sometimes. But the thing about it is it shouldn't just be one person that's happening for. Come on, that's supposed to be happening for everybody who's a believer. And so that's why we wanted to talk about it, really get it in front of you so you can start meditating on these things and getting these things in your hearts so that you can start walking in it. Because if you're not walking in it, that's just part of what God did for you that you just don't get to enjoy. And it's not because he doesn't want it for you. It's just because we may not know about it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2 says this, "For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you." Now, that's good enough right there. But then he takes it a step further and he says this, "Indeed, the right time is now." Whew, come on, somebody. The right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is. And so when was just the right time? Well, it's right now. When is the right time? It's now. When is the day of salvation? It's today. We said to you in the first week that favor is the expression of God's goodwill to you and in you. That God's will is, first of all, favor is his expression of his goodwill to you. And to you is something that happens out here. This is where we need help. Come on, somebody. You know, and I talked to you about, you know, watching a little kid, you know, one of my boys when they were little. Or maybe you probably have memories of your own kids. They go to climb up on the couch, and their legs just not quite long enough to quite get it up there. But they're trying, man. They're giving it everything they got. And you just walk over and, you know, just a little bit of help, and they get up there. You know what I'm talking about? See, that's what favor is. It's the expression of goodwill towards somebody to help. To help. And so that was the expression of his goodwill towards us, to help us in our life here on earth and to help us in our relationship with him. That doesn't mean he does it all for us. That means he helps us to do it. And then, but it's also the expression of God's goodwill in you. That when his work is going on in you, he's actually causing your ability and your talent and your, you know, what you can do to grow, because he's working inside of you. Come on, he's making you smarter. He's making you more spiritual. Come on, somebody. He's making you grow. He's causing your ability to increase. And so his help only comes, and you only need his help when your ability ends. And so here's the thing. He's trying. His favor is to help you when your ability ends, but it's also to increase your ability. Come on, he wants you to be better than you were yesterday. He wants you to get better. The older you get, the better you get. Yes. Come on, that's what God's favor is. So he's working in us all the time. He's working his power in us to show us things. His word is working in us. All right? And so then we said to you last week that the number one way to walk in favor is through obedience to what God is leading you to do. You can't just, you know, walk in favor by laying around not doing nothing. And there's a lot of people that have taken God's favor as an excuse for that. You know, it's like, well, you know, God's just going to work it all out. I don't have to do anything. And that's going from one ditch of trying to do everything to the other ditch of not doing anything. Okay? And we have to walk in obedience. Now, I want to say this, and I probably should have said this last week. And so this is a little extra bonus from last week's message. But now here's the thing. Some people go, well, I don't know what God's telling me to do. I don't know what God's leading me to do. And we kind of get this thing in our minds that to walk in obedience always has to be this big, and it has to be this great and mysterious thing. And don't get me wrong, there is an ultimate calling for people. People do have an ultimate calling in their life. There is an ultimate purpose for your life. But it doesn't always have to be big and weird. Now, you understand what I mean by weird. I don't mean like, I mean like it has to be just some unusual thing. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. A lot of times our ego want to make sense of our calling as it's got to be something real special. And that, I'm just going to tell you, everybody's call is special. You're no different than anybody else. The only one that was unique was Jesus. Come on now. Now listen, that doesn't mean yours is not specific to you. Specific to you is different. But that doesn't mean that, you know, your call is something that's supposed to just stand out. Listen, if everybody's call just stood out, then nobody would ever stand out. Okay? And so a lot of times we're waiting on this big moment of clarity where this big thing's going to reveal itself. When all along, we have opportunities of obedience every day in front of us. Come on, somebody. We have an opportunity to be the best parents we can be. Come on. We have the best opportunity every day to be model citizens. I don't like that, Pastor. I'd rather be, you know, called to be Superman. You want that responsibility too? I mean, listen, we have the best opportunity every day to be an exceptional employee at our job. Come on, somebody. What is that? That's obedience. We have an opportunity every day to walk in obedience to display a model marriage. We can be great spouses. Come on, somebody. All right? Every human being has a great purpose, and God has great plans. But sometimes those plans seem so far off in the future, they may even be a mystery or non-existent to us at the moment. And that's why we have to start with the obvious things of walking in obedience now. We need to start with the obvious. Okay? I'm gonna get on my soapbox for a second. You should tip well. If you're a poor tipper, don't tell them you're a Christian then. Come on now. Take your carts back to the return cart thing when you're done with them. Y'all know this is a big one for me. I mean, you go to the grocery store and you see somebody finish and they just let it kind of... Now listen to me. You go, well, where does it say that in the Bible? It don't say that in the Bible. But come on, that's the right thing to do. Walk in obedience. What is that? That brings favor on your life. From returning the shopping cart? Yeah. Why? You're representing. Come on. The Lord God that lives in your hearts. All right? Listen, if you can't tip well and you can't do those kind of things and you can't walk in simple obedience, what makes you think God's going to call you to something bigger and greater? Start with the obvious. Keep God first. Read your Bible. That brings favor on your life. Come on, pray. And not just, oh God, help. Pray. Spend time with God. Seek God. Here's a big one. Walk in love. Somebody gets on your nerves. And you want to just tell them where to go. Walk in love. There are plenty of things that we're called to walk in obedience for that produce favor in our lives. It's not just walking in obedience with the world shaking unusual call. It's walking in obedience in everyday life. And it'll bring favor upon you. Now today I want to talk about how to increase favor in our lives. If we're walking in obedience and that brings favor, how do we increase that? And this one, some people aren't going to like. But here it is. You need to show the kind of favor that you want to see in your life to somebody else. You want somebody to do something for you, you ought to do something for somebody else. I remember somebody, I talked to somebody one time, and they were older, and they had a good job, and they had a good life. I mean, they were doing all right. I mean, and they were believing for somebody to give them a new car. Now, listen to me. Let me stop you right here. There ain't nothing wrong with that. You're believing for a new car, you know, somebody's going to give it to you, or you're going to get blessed with it. I don't care how it comes. It's just you're going to get blessed with a new car. There's nothing wrong with that. All right? But I remember they kept saying it, you know, somebody's going to give me a new car. Somebody's going to give me a new car. Somebody's going to give me a new car. And I asked them one time, I said, well, have you ever given somebody a new car? And they were like, no. And I'm like, so what makes you think somebody's just going to give you a new car if you've never given a new car? Well, because I need a new car. I'm just like, yeah, you got a job. Come on, you can afford to go get one. No, 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 Pastor. No, 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 no. I'm believing for some, that specifically somebody's going to give me a new car. I said, but you've never given a new car? So what makes you think that that's just going to happen? You've not sown it out there. Well, I mean, I'm a tither and I'm a giver and stuff like that. Yeah, that's good. But have you ever sown what you're believing for? And this is the question we want to answer today. Luke chapter 16, verse number 1. Jesus is telling a story here. And he's talking about this very subject. Now, not talking about sowing and reaping cars, but he's talking about showing the kind of favor and things like that to people. And verse number 1, Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. Now, what's going on here? Let's just stop right here. This guy's not walking in obedience. He's walking in selfishness. Oh, but he's rich. He won't miss that money. Evidently, he wasn't rich enough that he didn't miss it because he found out about it. So the employer called him in and said, what's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired. The manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. Isn't that a song by the Temptations? I'm just saying. I think it's Ain't Too Proud to Beg. But anyway, I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I am fired. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much do you owe him, talking about his employer. The man replied, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil. Now listen to me. How would you like to have to deal with that? You know, you don't have to go and pay for your services or your bills with cash or a check or a credit card. You have to haul 800 gallons of olive oil down to pay your water bill or to pay your electric bill. That's what we're talking about here, the same kind of thing. I would hate to have to do that, have 800 bottles of 1 gallon bottles. That would be just a nightmare. This is what they're having to deal with. All right. So the manager told him, take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. And how much do you, and he asked somebody else, how much do you owe my employer? He asked the next man, I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat, was the reply. Here, the manager said, take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. Now, I want to stop right here. Now, what's he doing? Now, is what he's doing a little bit underhanded? Sure, it is. Is this wrong? Yes, but it isn't really any that much different than what we deal with today. You ever call your credit card company and you owe a certain amount, and you go, what if I pay it all off today, and they mark some of it off? Anybody ever done that? That's what's going on here. That's what they're negotiating. All right, and this guy evidently had the authority to do that because he was a manager. All right, so he's negotiating with these people. What's he doing? He's sowing favor towards somebody else. Why? Because he needs favor right now. And the guy that is really going to fire him completely changes his tune. Look here in verse number 8. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it's true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of light. Now look at this, what Jesus wraps it all up right here in verse number 9. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. Now, if you're taking notes, you'll want to write this down real big. Favor must be a seed before it ever becomes a harvest. People are wanting everybody to have mercy on them and really like them and take do this thing for them and really cause their life to just, you know, listen. You know, we've all said it. Listen, you had that supervisor for that company on the phone. We've all had that person. I need to speak to your supervisor. And you keep going up the ladder till you get the top dog. And then you go, listen, you can do this if you want to. Y'all ever said that? You can, listen, you can change my reservation on that plane if you want to. Favor has to be a seed before it becomes a harvest. A lot of us are waiting for people to do things for us, bless us, hire us. Come on, somebody. Give us a raise and a promotion. But are we doing anything for anybody else? Wouldn't it be nice if somebody just blessed you because they wanted to bless you? Well, when was the last time you blessed somebody? Just to bless them. Not because you knew of anything they needed. Not because of, you heard of a need they had. You just wanted to be nice and bless them. Well, if you're not sowing that out, the chances of that going to happen to you are very rare. Seeds that you put into the ground of life always bring a harvest. Always. If you're not planting any, you aren't going to reap any. Now, a lot of times people start hearing us talk about sowing and reaping, and they immediately talk about money. Well, I don't have any money to give. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about just sowing what you're expecting in your life. If you want people to be nice to you, are you being nice to people? Or are you one of those people that walk through the mall, look like you've been sucking on pickles all day? Are you one of those people that literally, you know, now listen, I have to think about this myself because I have resting jerk face. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When you relax and you're not feeling anything, but you still look mad, I suffer from that. Anybody else in here suffer from that? For ladies, they call it something else. I can't say it. I'm in church. The only reason I know that is because one of you, church members, posted an article about it on Facebook. The resting jerk face. Neutral. There's nothing there. Just neutral. And people go, why are you mad? I'm not mad. What are you talking about? Well, your face looks like you're mad. No, this is my mad face. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, you look mad now. No, I'm really just in neutral. Okay? But seriously, when you walk, are you one of those people that are walking around, maybe you're not sowing anything, but you're expecting the whole world to be nice to you? That's something that I've had to work on in my own life. I've had to say to myself, listen, put a slight grin on your face, even though you feel like an idiot doing it. It's because everybody thinks you're mad, and then people are afraid of you. This is me having an inward monologue conversation. And then I realize, because I'm sowing that out there. What are you sowing? Nothing. And guess what I'm harvesting? Come on, nothing. Nobody's being nice to me, even though I think I'm being nice. I'm just walking. I'm not bothering anybody. But then I start realizing, if I want people to be nice to me, I'm going to have to start sowing it out there. So I have to literally I have to catch myself. when I'm walking through the mall, or come on, when I'm going in to drop a car off to get serviced, or when I'm at Lowe's, or wherever, you know, Home Depot, whatever, whenever I'm out and about, I have to make myself go, come on, sow some happiness. And so I have to turn that neutral into slight drive and just step on the gas a little bit. So I have to go from here to here. And I'll just be honest with you, I feel like an idiot sometimes walking. And I'm like, oh, my face is getting tired. And then when nobody's around, I can kind of, oh, okay, good. All right, oh, here comes somebody. You know, keep my head up and just kind of, what? You know what starts happening when you do that? People start seeing you and they go, hey. They respond way differently. All right? Seeds that you put into the ground of life always bring a harvest. Always. Now let me say this. You can't just call those seeds something else and expect a different harvest. I can walk around all I want to in neutral, resting jerk face. Okay? Now listen. And I can call it whatever I want to call it. But if it's a seed of somebody thinking I'm mad, guess what I'm going to harvest? People being afraid of me. Listen, I can't go out into the ground and sow beets in the ground and call it corn and expect corn to come out of the ground. Can I? I'd be a magician at that point. And everybody would want to know my secret, because then I could just say, go buy all the other kind of seeds you want, and we'll just call them something else, and you'll harvest that. I can't do that, can I? All right? You can't sow things, listen to me, towards other people, call them something else, and think it's going to be okay. And there's a whole lot of people doing this. Well, I didn't mean that. You didn't say you didn't mean that, though. Come on, you sowed it out there. And whether we want to admit it or not, that was a beet seed, not a corn seed. That was not happiness that you sowed. Well, I mean, why do I got to be responsible for everything? You're not responsible for everything and everybody. You're just responsible for what's coming into your own life. So you got to ask yourself, what are you sowing out? Well, I've done nice things for other people who've asked me for help. Yeah, when they ask you, when's the last time you sowed something just because? When was the last time you blessed somebody without knowing of a need that they have, but just because you wanted to, or you just felt like, maybe I should do something for them? When was the last time you gave somebody something just because? I go, well, Why do I got to give something away? Well, I mean, are you expecting that kind of stuff to happen to you? All right? Favor in the Old Testament and New Testament is the same word that we have for grace, charm, elegance, and acceptance. Now, I told you all that in week one. It's the same Hebrew and Greek word. All right? Well, if you go and you look up the word grace, it's a very popular word in the church these days. Grace is a very popular word. A lot of teaching on it, going around everywhere. Some of it's right, some of it's crazy. Okay? But now, the word grace actually means this, unmerited favor. Well, what in the world does unmerited mean? It means not earned. Not earned. How can you receive something that you have not earned? How can you get something in your life if you didn't earn it? Because, you know, listen, the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to earn what we, you know, we're supposed to work for what we, you know, get what we earn. We're supposed to work in order to eat, right? Doesn't the Bible teach that? You don't work, you don't eat. Bible teaches that, right? All right? How can you receive something that you haven't earned? And here it is. The only way to accept something that you haven't earned is by it occurring naturally or supernaturally. It's the only other way it can happen. Everything else happens because you earn it. All right? Now listen to this. Nothing occurs naturally unless there's a seed planted. Or we like to say it this way better. This might clarify it. Nothing occurs naturally without the proper ingredients. Even mountains. Come on. There's no seed you can plant in the ground and a mountain grow. But mountains, come on, are made up of the right materials and the right ingredients. What happens? Lava starts melting, molten rock starts piling up on each other, and it starts piling up, and then sometimes, you know, another two tectonic plates touch together and push together, and all that ground starts to pile up, and boom, you got a mountain. What is that? It's an ingredient. All right? A seed is an ingredient for a harvest. Come on, somebody. It's an ingredient. When God does something in your life, when it comes supernaturally, most of the time it doesn't just come and he goes, here you go. God actually gives you seed to plant for it to grow into that. And this is where so many people are missing it. They're expecting, when they ask God for favor and help, they're expecting God to just go, and it's done. And God starts giving them opportunity and seed to sow it, and they go, how's that going to help? And they let the opportunities walk right by. And they let the opportunities to do something for somebody else walk right by. Because, God, I need something. God, if God's going to do it supernaturally in your life, don't get me wrong, there are miracles and there are cases of things where God has done things. And I'm not saying those aren't exist, but those are not the norm. They are things that happen out of the norm. That's why they're called miracles. All right? But when he does things in our lives, he gives us opportunities and seed. In fact, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He gives us seed to sow towards your answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. You see how that works? Y'all know bread started as a seed somewhere. Well, somebody go, well, I'm gluten-free. It still started as an ingredient somewhere. Bread didn't just go, boom, boom, and it was there. Traditionally, it started as a seed to a farmer. He put it in the ground. They harvested it, ground it up, baked it into bread. Do you see the principle here? If you're expecting God to give you favor, then you have to say, God, give me an opportunity to give favor to somebody else. Why? Because then it turns into bread for you. Come on, somebody. All right? In the same way, he will provide and increase your, look at this next word, it's huge, resources, and then produce a great harvest of generosity. Does that say for you? Look at that. It's huge. Not a great harvest of generosity for you. It's a great harvest of generosity. Come on, somebody. In you. If you're going to walk in favor, you have to give favor to somebody else. If you want things to just work out for you, then you have to let things work out for other people that are dealing with you. Are you treating others the way you want people to treat you? Now, we all grew up in school, and this was called the Golden Rule. And you younger folks have no idea. But we used to have to recite this to start the day. It was the Pledge of Allegiance. We were allowed to pray back in those days. We would say a little prayer, and we would say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we would recite the Golden Rule. Anybody else grow up in a church or a school like that? That's just, but now here's the thing. We've looked at it as just being nice to people. I want to take it just a step further, and I'm almost done. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That was the Golden Rule, right? All right, now let's take it a step further. Sure, I want to be nice to people. They'll be nice to me. That's what the Golden Rule is supposed to be. But now what about taking it a step further? If I want somebody to bless me, come on, I should bless them. If I want somebody to buy me lunch, come on, I should buy them lunch. Come on. If I want somebody to have mercy on me when I do something wrong, come on, somebody. I need to be merciful when somebody messes me over and makes my life miserable. Pastor, why you got to go there? You know, when somebody does something and really messes your life over, and somebody does something that makes you so mad and puts you in a hard spot, how would you want somebody to respond if you had done that and realized you was wrong? Here's another great place to write notes right here. Favor always comes when you concentrate on the success of others and will increase when you put others ahead of yourself. Favor always comes when you concentrate on the success of others and will increase when you put others ahead of yourself. Some people say, well, I'm not doing something for somebody who doesn't deserve it. I'm not doing it for somebody who's going to just take advantage of me. We read to you one story about a guy who went and showed favor to people and was able to receive favor. There's another story of another servant that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 18 who was this kind of person who didn't want to show it. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors who was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay. So the master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. Harsh. Now listen to this. The man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, and I'll pay it. I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Now, that doesn't mean he just said, pay me when you can. He wiped it out. There is no debt anymore. Okay? Debt is forgiven. All right? Now, where was it? What verse are we on? I lost my place. Right? But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me. I will pay it, he pleaded. Now, this is the same exact situation he's in. He was just in this situation himself. And here's what happens. He's exact same. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said this, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. You're talking about taking it out of your hide. Your parents ever say that to you? You better knock that off, or I'm going to take that out of your hide. This is literal. That's what my heavenly Father, listen to this, will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Harsh. But what happens if you do? You get favor. Here's another note point right here. You can lose favor just as quickly as you gain favor. You can lose it. Many times we're so worried about what other people are doing wrong and what other people are doing that's not fair that we get to this point where we cannot or we choose not to focus on any good seeds we could sow because, well, they're doing it wrong and it's not fair. You know, my son Peyton loves to use that phrase. That can't be fair, Dad. Like we could give, you know, him and Preston could get presents at the same time. What they wanted, what they asked for. And he'll look at Preston's with his brand new toy in his hand. That can't be fair. While he's holding a brand new one. Something else that he asked for. He picked himself. And then he saw everything Preston's could do. And he's like, well, that can't be fair. And so many times we're doing the same thing. We're so worried about what somebody might get away with or what they're going to do wrong. Or here's even closer, what they might do wrong to us or what they have done wrong to us in the past. And we're sitting here with our own blessings screaming that it's not fair what somebody else might do. Instead of looking at the fact that we could turn around and bless somebody and sow seeds into an opportunity that's horrible and terrible and turn the whole situation around, we don't look at it that way. We go, that's not fair, and you ain't getting none of mine. Even if they don't deserve it, we should be sowing favor towards people. Do you think you really deserve any favor you get? I work hard for that. You didn't work hard enough because you still don't deserve it. We're so ready to exclude others, point out travesty that other people are doing, point out shortcomings that people have, that we miss out on the fact that none of us deserve anything good that we get in our lives. Anything. I don't care what situation you came from, you don't deserve any good you get. Nobody does. Nobody in this world, no matter their race, color, creed, nationality, nobody deserves goodness in their life. Nobody. We all deserve to be in hell right now. All of us. All of us deserve to be destroyed in a greasy spot in the universe. Come on. It should just be looking like a bug hit a windshield where the earth should be. That's what we deserve. Come on, somebody. And don't act like holy and sanctimonious on me. I know what the Bible says. None of us deserve it. None of us deserve good things. But here's what I want to ask you. Before we exclude one more person, can we remember that God included us? Before we tell one more person, you're out of here, can we remember that God said, welcome in? Come on, that's what favor is. You're robbing yourself of a harvest of favor if you're constantly comparing and constantly complaining that things aren't fair and people don't deserve it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll close here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a long description of love. And amongst other things that it describes, the Message Bible uses this phrase, love isn't always me first. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love puts up with anything. This is a big one. Love trusts God always. Love looks for the best and never looks back. If I'm going to receive favor in my life, I can't be worried about what somebody's going to do with the favor I sow into their life. If I sow favor into somebody's life and they squander it, that's not my problem. That's not something I need to worry about. And that's, listen to me, that's the last thing I should be offended about. You know why? Because if I gave it away, it's not mine to worry about anymore. I'm now turned loose of it. And guess what? They do what they do with it. I now have way more room, come on, to receive favor coming into my life. I can grab a hold of it a whole lot better with my hands full. But now if my hands are raised and I'm looking back at what they did with what my goodwill was to them, guess what? I can't catch everything that's being thrown my way. Love sows seeds of favor that you did not earn to come back into your life. What are you sowing? Maybe you're one of those ones that you're not sowing anything. Maybe you're sitting around waiting for it to happen to you. You have become a farmer that has a barn full of seed complaining that your garden and your fields are empty. Start sowing what you know right now. Yeah, but if they take advantage, don't worry about it. Sow it. Put it in the ground. Sow it into somebody who gets on your nerves is life. Sow somebody you are borderline hating, and I can't hate because I'm a good Christian, but it's real close. Sow something good into their life. Come on. Oh, but you don't know how bad. Listen to me. I'm telling you, you're going to reap favor. This is good. This is from the Holy Ghost right now. The most aggravating people in your life are the most fertile soil for favor to come back to you. Most aggravating people in your life are the most fertile soil to sow favor into. Show favor to others the same way that you want it shown in your life. And that is what you'll harvest into your own life. Heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm done.